From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, as he brings the opening portion of a message called The Report Card of the Faithful. The text is verse 39 of Hebrews 11, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith." That which characterized all the Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11, whether named or not, may be summed up in the constantly recurring phrase, "by faith." As the progress of school children is indicated in their report cards, so the spiritual condition of Christians in every age is marked by clearly identifiable attributes. The very first and indispensable characteristic of true Christians is that they are a saved people, born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Cairns. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." If thou wouldst enjoy the eminent grace of the full assurance of faith under the Blessed Spirit's influence and assistance, do what the Scripture tells thee. Give diligence. Take care that thy faith is of the right kind, that it is not mere belief of doctrine, but a simple faith, depending on Christ and on Christ alone. Give diligent heed to thy courage. Plead with God that He would give thee the face of a lion, that thou mayest, with a consciousness of right, go on boldly. Study well the Scriptures, and get knowledge, for a knowledge of doctrine will tend very much to confirm faith. Try to understand God's Word. Let it dwell in thy heart richly. When thou hast done this, add to thy knowledge temperance. Take heed to thy body. Be temperate without. Take heed to thy soul. Be temperate within. Get temperance of lip, life, heart, and thought. Add to this, by God's Holy Spirit, patience. Ask Him to give thee that patience which endureth affliction, which, when it is tried, shall come forth as gold. Array yourself with patience, that you may not murmur nor be depressed in your afflictions. When that grace is won, look to godliness. Godliness is something more than religion. Make God's glory your object in life. Live in His sight. Dwell close to Him. Seek for fellowship with Him. And thou hast godliness. And to that add brotherly love. Have a love to all the saints. And add to that a charity which openeth its arms to all men and loves their souls. When you are adorned with these jewels, and just in proportion as you practice these heavenly virtues, will you come to know by clearest evidence your calling and election. Give diligence if you would get assurance, for lukewarmness and doubting very naturally go hand in hand.
Oh,
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Turning again to the last two verses of Hebrews chapter 11, reading only verse 39 and verse 40, but concentrating in the beginning of verse 39 for today's study. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. At the beginning of verse 39, there is a statement that all these obtained a good report through faith. I want us today just to isolate that part of the reading and pay particular attention to it. All these obtained a good report through faith. Every parent will know that report card time is unwelcome in most homes. Many are the excuses. Great is the mental agility, the storytelling, Charles Dickens, Agatha Christie, and all the other spinners of tales would have nothing on many of your children when it comes to the stories they can concoct at report card time. Explanation, evasion, and of course promise of better things to come. I see a few guilty looks around here, not only of those who are now in school, but some who have got out of school. And maybe if all the truth were told, they would have to go back to about the third grade. So I have stood on a few toes already. I'll say nothing about my record in that area. But you know, it's not only the children who are compiling a report card. We all are. This one, not with grades of human merit, human achievement, effort, and ability, but one compiled in the presence of God. And indeed, as far as God's people are concerned, by the grace of God, written in the ink of the Redeemer's shed blood, a report of faith in Christ and faithfulness to Christ. That's what the words of this text really are all about. Four times in this chapter, there is a reference, and the word in the original is the same verb in every case. There are four references to this matter of obtaining a good report. You'll find in verse 2, through faith, the elders obtained a good report. In verse 4, we find that Abel, by faith, obtained witness that he was righteous before God. Verse 5, we find that Enoch, before his translation, had this testimony. And again, as I say, it's the same structure, the same word in the original scriptures. He had this testimony, he had this report that he pleased God. And then the words of our text, summing up all the heroes of faith, these all having obtained a good report through faith. Now, I think that you'd understand immediately from that the Holy Spirit wants us to grasp the fact that faith in Christ bears a report. I think it should be stated that in all these four cases, the original language comes rather awkwardly into English. Literally, it means in every case, they were born witness to through faith. The emphasis that the Spirit of God is making all through this chapter is that these people had a faith in Christ, a faith by which then they lived and indeed died and were troubled and were triumphant. Through faith in every circumstance of life, they had their eyes upon God through His Word, and ultimately in the person of His Son. And that faith bore a specific, clear, and very important witness to these people. So today I want us to think very, very simply on the report card of the faithful. What faith actually says about the people who live by faith and whose trust is solely in Jesus Christ? The first thing it says is that they are a saved people. When you go down to Hebrews chapter 11, you will find that there is an emphasis upon people in a vital, saving relationship with God. This is not some general faith. This is not merely a faith in historic fact, although undoubtedly it took that in. This is not a faith of that says these people were merely religious up to their light. No, it is a faith that says these people were sinners who were saved by grace. The note is set right at the beginning of the chapter in the first isolated instance of faith working in an individual life. The emphasis first then is upon Abel. And we read there that he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he was borne witness to that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. The emphasis and the stress then from the beginning of the chapter is one upon salvation through the blood of the sacrifice received through faith in Christ. Faith witnesses, first of all, these people are saved people. Saved not by their works, saved not by their effort. We read here of people who suffered greatly, but they were not saved by their suffering. We read of people who gave their bodies to be sawn asunder, gave their bodies, as we saw, to be stretched like the skin of a drum on a drum head. And as they were stretched, they were beaten to death because of the name of the God that they served. But they were not saved by their martyrdom. Here are people who gave up their money, who gave up their position. Moses turned his back upon all the treasures and pleasures of Egypt. But Moses was not saved by the giving up of pleasure and treasure. The scripture emphasis here throughout this chapter is that these all were sinners who couldn't save themselves by martyrdom or by suffering or by praying or by giving or by doing, but they were saved by free grace through the merits of the blood of Christ's atonement received by faith alone. I wonder today, as you stand before God, the God who will require that which is past, the God who will bring every work into judgment, the God with whom you have to do, understand the force of those words, not the God whom you may meet, not the God whom possibly you will have to stand before, but the God so often obliterated from men's thinking, so often put behind your back, whose voice is so often stilled and quelled by the wickedness of the human heart, the God with whom you have to do. As you stand before that God today, I wonder, is there first a testimony born to you? This is a saved man. This is a saved woman. This is a young person saved by grace on the merit of the blood atonement. And that person is trusting none but Christ. Have you that testimony before God? Nothing else will be a testimony that saves. There is no rejoicing in heaven over most of the things that men rejoice in. Do you ever notice that in the 15th chapter of Luke? The Lord Jesus says there's rejoicing in heaven over the sinner who was lost and is found. There is joy among the inhabitants of glory over every poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner who comes by faith to trust Jesus Christ. And what rejoicing! Now on earth there's rejoicing when men make it big. There's rejoicing over the efforts of the flesh. There's rejoicing over the achievements of the flesh. And men think they are something. when they have done some great thing in the eyes of the world. But if heaven could weep, it surely would weep over foolish men and women who are rejoicing over the baubles of time while their soul is suspended by nothing stronger than a strand of a spider's web over the chasm of eternal hell. The only testimony that matters is the testimony of a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Many are proud of their church, of their religion, of their baptism, of their heritage. I am this, I am that. I am a Presbyterian. Now, you may not have progressed that far yet. But what does it matter? If you could look into hell today, there'd be Presbyterians in hell. And there'd be Baptists right beside them. And there'd be Church of Christ beside them, and Methodists beside them, and Roman Catholics beside them. And on earth they were all so full of what church they had, how they were baptized. But they had no saving faith in Jesus Christ. The first and all important entry that you should make sure is marked against your name in the sight of God is this man or woman or young person is saved. Are you saved today? If you're not saved today, let me ask you, will you by simple faith look away to Christ? Will you give up this holding on to self and sin, the world and its pleasures and its treasures, the religion of the flesh and its works and its self-righteousness? Will you turn away from the things that blind you and bind you? Today, will you take your stand at the foot of the old rugged cross and say, I have no hope save in Christ? I have no trust but in the Lamb of God. I stake no claim to heaven except through the merits of His precious blood. And today, believing myself to be a sinner and believing Christ to be the Son of God and the only Savior, I ask Him to save me and keep me and bring me to glory. Will you come that way? Bless God, him that cometh, Christ will never cast out. And any sinner, be he who he may or what he may, any sinner coming that way will be immediately and eternally gloriously saved. First part of the testimony of faith, then, received people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.